You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. In mid-March, the Canadian and U.S. governments agreed to essentially shut down their shared land border in an effort to stop the spread of COVID-19. Commercial trucks can still pass through, but almost everyone else cannot. And as this shutdown drags on, small towns on both sides of the border, they're suffering. Reporter Nate Hedgie brings us to one such struggling community in Montana. This is the first of a four-part series and collaboration between the Mountain West News Bureau and the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.
The border crossing north of Eureka is quiet these days. No buses, no vans packed with mountain bikes and vacationing families, just a single logging truck.
No traffic hardly at all.
That's David Clark. He owns the First and Last Chance Bar and Duty Free store right near the border. He says on a normal summer,
you'll see a lineup at the border going both ways. You have people walking in buying pop or candy bars or chips.
But today, Clark's shop is mostly empty. He says if it wasn't for the slot machines in the back that locals play, he'd be in deep trouble financially.
All the revenue streams are down. The duty-free is non-existent. And basically, what we put in the bank from the duty-free gets us through the winter.
Tourism makes up a fifth of the county economy. And many businesses in Eureka rely on the tens of thousands of Canadian visitors that cross the border there every year. Some are traveling to national parks like Yellowstone or Glacier. Others own vacation homes and spend their summers near Eureka. Laverna Monroe says they're an important part of the local economy.
From attending our churches to keeping restaurants open, our shops open, you know, they play a tremendous part.
Monroe has owned a gift shop in town for almost three decades. She says more than half of her business comes from north of the border.
Is there a big thing that Canadian tourists like to buy that you've noticed? Or
they like funny. They like a little maybe off-colored stuff.
For instance, signs and socks with four-letter words on them. Like, let's drink wine and talk, well, you know.
They use the F word sometimes.
But she also sells beautiful ceramic mugs and $400 wind chimes.
Of course, with no Canadians this year, we haven't been selling that.
She says her revenues are down 60%. And if the border shutdown continues into the fall and winter, she'll close her doors forever. Already, a couple of friends who own stores in nearby border towns have done just that. Monroe fears this pandemic has echoes of when Eureka's logging industry collapsed in the mid-2000s.
In the past, we used to have two lumber mills here, and the two mills have since shut down, which is sad, put many people out of work. So now it is. People ask me what our economy is, and I say Canadians.
Monroe begins to cry.
What makes you feel, I guess, emotional in terms of...
Just... seeing businesses in town shut down.
But even with this, she says, closing the border was the right thing to do.
It didn't help our town, but probably it was for Canada. You know, our numbers are way higher than them, and I can understand where they don't want us up there. Definitely can understand.
But even as many businesses endure the loss of Canadian dollars, there is an economic bright spot. There may be a cavalry on the horizon, but they aren't Canadians, they're Americans. Gideon Utsi is a local real estate agent.
We're busier now than we've ever been in 11 years of selling real estate.
He says buyers are coming to Montana from all over the U.S. The state, after all, has one of the lowest infection rates in the nation.
They feel like this is maybe one of the last best places to live, and I kind of agree with them.
There also appears to be an uptick in domestic tourism. Nearby national parks are packed, and vacation rental bookings are humming along. But as people move, so does the virus, and caseloads are rising exponentially, both in Montana and across the country. And that doesn't bode well for reopening the border anytime soon. In Eureka, Montana, I'm Nate Hedgie.
And Nate is joining us live now to tell us more about his reporting. Hey, good to hear from you, Nate.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So this was just one part of this series. Can you tell us what else you looked at?
Yeah, we also looked at just how the two countries are responding to the pandemic and how kind of our cultures influence our response to the pandemic. So up in Canada, specifically in British Columbia, they haven't had a COVID case actually in a while, but everything is still shut down. People are still wearing masks. you know, bars and restaurants are either limited or closed. And whereas down here, just across the border, the reaction to the pandemic is much different, much more different. There's more pushback on local ordinances for mask wearing. There's concern over whether the virus is real among some circles. And it's just kind of a patchwork of local, county, and state responses.
So it sounds like it's a lot less politicized in Canada than it's become here.
Right, right. Yeah. Specifically in British Columbia, which is I think a far more liberal province than, let's say, Alberta or something else like that. But on the whole, there's been a strong national response in Canada, and that's translated to them just not having the same level of outbreak that we have here in the States.
What surprised you, Nate, about this cross-border collaboration? I mean, was there something that you learned that kind of surprised you?
I think it was how Canada's kind of motto of, I think it's peace, order, and good government, translates into a culture that listens. So Bob Keating, who's the other reporter, the CBC reporter, he opens one of his stories with this kind of joke that Canadians say, that let's say you're at a swimming pool and the lifeguard says, "All right, everybody, you need to get out of the pool." Canadians will just say, "Okay," and they'll get out of the pool. Americans will say, "Why do we need to get out of the pool?"
Yeah, exactly.
And so I think it's been really interesting just to see how that's influenced responses on both sides of the border. And then, of course, you know, the thing that surprised me is just how interconnected the United States and Canada is in our economies, especially along the border. We often forget that you know, these border towns depend on Canada for everything from restaurants and bars to tourism to shipping. It's just a vast kind of coupled economy.
You know, I grew up only about three and a half hours from the Canadian border between Washington and BC. And I tell you, growing up, it didn't feel like you were going into a different country. I mean, it would just, they kind of flowed together. I mean, and I think we forget that sometimes about how interconnected these two countries are in particular.
Right.
I mean, you reported this last month. Has anything changed though, when it comes to when the border might reopen and how this could affect businesses? I mean, in North Idaho and in Montana?
Well, so long as the pandemic continues surging here in the United States, I think Canada is loath to reopen its border to American citizens. There is a strange loophole in which Canadians can actually fly down to the United States. They can't drive across the land, the shared land border, but they can fly and they don't have to quarantine. And when the Trump administration was asked about this, they've not commented. And so it's this weird loophole that a few Canadians are taking just to check on their second homes, see family and that kind of thing while the border is shut down. But it's kind of like in a World War II movie when everyone's saying, you know, "Oh, the war is going to be over by Christmas. The border is going to be over by Christmas." That's what I kept border's going to be open by Christmas. That's what I kept hearing. But I think the Canadians don't think that's going to happen.
Has there been a story that stuck with you doing this series?
I think Laverna Monroe, the woman in the piece that we just listened to, having lived in Eureka for almost three decades, owning this little gift shop, watching the town transition from a logging based economy to a tourism based economy. And then, you know, looking into the winter and saying, if I don't get my revenues up and if the border doesn't open, I'm going to have to close my business that I've owned for nearly three decades. I think that was one that really stuck to me. And it's just amazing, you know, in any other year, this would be the biggest story of the year. I mean, the US Canadian border is closed, but in 2020, you know, it's a footnote.
Right. You're totally right. Before I let you go, do you think that there are lessons that leaders here in Idaho can learn from how Canada is dealing with the coronavirus? I mean, either from an economic standpoint or a health perspective.
Canada has done a good job in terms of stimulating or in terms of taking care of unemployed workers with a, I believe it's a $2,000 a month kind of a paycheck for if you're unemployed because of COVID or your business is shut down. And I think it's not so much what Idaho can learn, because again, there are cultural aspects that differ between Canadians and Americans. Right. I think what we see is in the United States, we have a very patchwork response, again, at a state and local level, whereas Canada has a national response. And I don't think that that's something that Idaho can necessarily do, because we don't have a cohesive national strategy to combat COVID-19. So we're kind of stuck with, you know, each county, each business, in some cases, gets to make their own decisions.
It's almost like dealing with 50 different countries, frankly.
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah. And so we've seen the result of that.
Yeah. Nate, thanks so much for coming on and talking to us about this, but always a great reporting.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
We've been talking with Mountain West News Bureau reporter Nate Hedgie about his work on a cross-border collaboration with the Canadian Broadcasting Company. You can listen to all four pieces in this series. Just go to our website, BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters.